good cooks in this room. You know, we know Miss Janine can cook very well. We know that my sister Kua here, great food, very good food. And so I can just imagine what your guys' tables are going to be for lunchtime. Who's looking forward to lunch? Yes, very good. So I will not keep you long. I'll make sure that we all get out so that by the time you get home, your food is still hot. We had a wonderful service this morning. And what I like, you know, about Christmas is that it's about bringing. The funny thing is that the world does not acknowledge the Lord, but the good thing is that they all acknowledge Christmas Day, that the Son of God, and so essentially people are confessing that the Son of God was born on a day like today. And so it's represented, and so people acknowledge that and enjoy that time. It's also a time where families come together and have meals and all that good stuff. And so that's really good that, you know, families can join in with one another, and possibly sometimes they don't get together for the whole year, but it's a very special occasion. So the message this morning from Pastor Charlie was very good, and I'd encourage you to, if you have the time in the coming week, to just go and onto our YouTube channel and listen to it. It is called Unwrapping the Christmas Gift. Very good message, very encouraging. One of the key things I loved is that, you know, when you've got something as the greatest gift that we've been given, there are some gifts that you can keep for yourself, but there are other gifts that you have to give out to others. It's not good enough for you just to keep it to yourself. Amen? Now, of course, if it's a pair of shoes, you can keep that. But the name of Jesus, you don't want to keep that gift. You want to give it out to as many people as you can and share that. And so I've titled our message this morning, Whom Shall You Tell? In line with what Pastor Charlie spoke about. And so God is like an artist painting a canvas and saying, the reason this color is here is because later I'm going to add this other color, and those two colors together make this something that is very beautiful. And what I'm trying to say to both you and I is that God is a strategist. God is a planner. That you are not here by accident. That there's everything flows into the scheme and the will of what God wants. It says in Proverbs, many are the plans of man, but the will of the Lord shall what? Prevail. And so many are the plans, but the will of the Lord will prevail. And so I began to ask myself just this week, you know, why did the angels, why were they rejoicing? But also, like, I started to think, why did it take the Lord so long for him to send Jesus? Why couldn't he have just done it when Adam and Eve sinned, and then he would have just sent Jesus and everything would have been okay? There was a period of time by which nothing absolutely happened. And so this is a listener on Pastor John Piper's podcast. Now, Pastor John Piper is a pastor, and he's got a website called Desiring God. And on his podcast called Ask John Piper, a listener asks, why did God wait so long in human history, centuries, even millennia, before he finally sent Jesus to earth? Why the long wait? And so Pastor John begins to unpack, you know, his thoughts around that. And he sort of like says, you see, God has designed the world and cultures and the nature of humanity so that certain conditions, certain states of affairs come about in the world gradually. And so we can always second guess why God would make it that way. But he has told us that some things take time, meaning taking all of reality into account. Even though sometimes we want God to act now, he says, wait, I'm going to do things in my own time. And so God sometimes thinks it wise that he will do things in the way that God thought it wise that he does things the way that they develop. And so he tells Abraham in Genesis chapter 15, and this is just this thought process of how God basically organizes the world. And I want you to understand that the way that this day has happened, we cannot take that for granted. It says that in Genesis 15, he says there'll be four long generations, he's telling Abraham, that will elapse before the Israelites come back to the promised land and take it over. And so he intends, therefore, to be a very long time. And here's the reason he gives in Genesis 15, verse 6. He says, they shall come back here in the fourth generation, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. God regards it as fitting that there be certain things, a certain completeness of corruption and iniquity and depravity in the inhabitants of Canaan, so that when the judgment comes through Israel from God, it will be fitting and proper when Joshua begins to do his thing and wreak havoc among the Canaanites generations later. And so all we're saying is that there is a time and a place for everything. That why we would want the Lord to come back now, he sort of like says, look, there's certain things that need to happen before I come back. And so in Isaiah, he says in Isaiah 6 verse 10, he says, he's telling Isaiah that he's going to preach in such a way that the people are hardened. And so Isaiah cries out and says, how long, O Lord? To which God answers, until the cities lie waste without inhabitants and houses without people, and the land is a desolate waste. And the Lord removes the people far away, and the forsaken places are in the midst of the land. So everything, God will not rush to fulfill the things that he wants to fulfill until the time it is necessary for those things to be fulfilled. Amen? Now we come to Luke chapter 2. All of a sudden, he felt it as we heard in the kids' stories. He thought, you know, this is a good time for the Lord Jesus to be finally revealed. In Luke chapter 2, verse 8, it says, that night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you'll recognize him by this sign. You'll find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger. Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven praising God and saying, glory to God in highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. And then the scripture goes on to explain that, when the angels had returned, so when this vision was complete, the shepherds said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. And so they hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and the baby was there lying in the manger. And so after seeing him and confirming what they had been told by the angels, the shepherds didn't say, okay, that's it, guys. Let's go back to the fields and relax. What did they do? The shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart. And then eventually the shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. Isn't it amazing that these guys could not keep it to themselves? They could not keep it to themselves. You have to understand something about this. This great news, this day that we celebrate, this Christmas gift that God has given us is not something that you keep for yourself and your family. It is something that you and I have all been asked by the Lord. We've been tasked to go out and to encourage others and to share their story. Now, it says, all who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. That tells me that part of this whole... Now, you might not necessarily say, I saw some angels and the heaven's armies were dancing up and down, but you might say, this is what the Lord has done in my life. And all of a sudden, people are going to be astonished that, wow,
Really? Has God worked through your life? Has God worked through your family? They will be astonished by your story, that they would find, that they would also want to search out the Lord for themselves. Amen? Who believes they've got a story? Yes, everybody's got a story. The angels were excited. Imagine waiting from the day that Adam and Eve sinned and knowing that the plan of God had been set in motion. They were wondering, when is it going to happen? Lord, when are you going to restore all things to the way that they were? And so there were thousands of years between the time of Adam and Eve and the birth of Jesus. Others say 3,800 years. So between 3,000 to about 6,000 years before that happened. It's a very long time. Imagine you've got some news, some very good news. Mr. Donovan, Mr. Donovan, yes, he for some reason, maybe the Lord spoke to him and says, Donovan, I want you to put number 12, 16, 13, 18, 35, 36, and buy a lot of ticket. And all of a sudden, he wins $100 million. And so imagine if he just comes home and he's just smiling and not saying anything. He's just going around grinning. What do you think would be going on in his heart? Something would be just, he won't be able to help himself because he recognizes that, oh my goodness, I don't have to work anymore. My wife, she don't have to work anymore. And guess where we're going? We're going back to South Africa. Imagine he kept all that to himself. He would die of blood pressure. All that good news, and you're keeping it to yourself. And so people will be saying, why are you just grinning? Eventually, he shares the news that we've won $100 million. And of course, the whole family will go absolutely crazy. Malachi and Eli will be so happy. They'll be like, Granddad, let's go and into the Nike store. And I'm just, in fact, can you please close the store? We're just going to shop, the two of us. They were excited about what today represents. But then with this news, now, let's say Donovan did win $100 million. Donovan, don't tell anyone. That is news. You do not tell anyone. You keep that kind of news to yourself. And so the angel must have been asking, so we've got this news that the child of God has been born, which is what this day represents, but who do we go and tell? Now, you would think that they would say, oh, let us go and speak to the religious leaders. Let us go speak to the pastors, the elders, the leaders in the church. But they said, nope, we're not going to go and speak to them. They were considered, but they were not chosen. And an unlikely choice was made. The angels were told, go and tell the shepherds. Why were the shepherds chosen? Why did God choose to tell the shepherds? They above everyone else in the entire world were chosen to hear the story of the birth of Christ. And why, if we ask, why the shepherds, these lowly people who just are digging up dung and all of that, and they're dirty and smelly? And I think that there are many reasons, but part of them is that God has a history of using ordinary people. And also, God saw these shepherds, these ordinary people, as good, honest messengers to go and tell the news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what we need to understand is that, you know, us as Christians, we need to display such qualities like the shepherds. We must think of the message that we carry. We must consider the picture our daily habits are painting. Like God, these shepherds were known to stop everything to care for just one sheep. So they didn't keep it to themselves. They didn't say, you know what, the church has got 34 people in it. No need to tell anybody anymore. They didn't say that, you know, we've already got 99 sheep. We've got a lot of sheep. Who cares about one sheep that has gone wandering? What was it doing? Imagine they say that. What was that sheep doing? It should have been listening, but it was not listening. You have to understand that these were very courageous people, these shepherds. Why were they courageous? They were able to speak the truth during a politically sensitive time. Herod, if you read in this story in Matthew, had basically heard the story from, in fact, last week I said the three kings, and I was told it's not the three kings, and it's actually not, it's the wise men. I just thought I'd put it out there. I apologize. And so he had told these wise men when they came to him to say, look, we are looking for a new king. The king has been born. We're looking for him. And then Herod obviously says, look, tell me where he is so that I can too go and worship him. And of course, what then happened is that his intention was to kill. The three wise men were told in a somehow in a dream that, boom, go back the other way. Instead of going back through to Herod, they went the other way. And then Herod then said, we're killing every child under 2 years of age. Boom, we're killing them. This was a very politically sensitive time, but they had courage. These shepherds had courage. They knew quite well what might happen if they encountered Herod. But guess what? They went anyway. This is what you and I can be. We can go to and speak the greatest news that we have. We're not going to keep it to ourselves, but we're going to share it with everybody. And so as we just stand this morning, as we finish, this is the greatest gift that we have been given by God Himself. This gift of sending His Son, of restoring us back into a relationship with Him. And the question is, whom shall you tell? God chose the right messengers. The shepherds, they listened. They went to find out about this child to see if what the angels had said was true. So they left where they were to go into the city of Bethlehem. And I feel this is the type of person that God wants you and I to be. The person that shares the good news of Jesus. And we just don't want to rejoice and be happy that we know the good news of Jesus. But we also want to rejoice in the fact that we can share the good news of Jesus. So God trusted the shepherds with the story of the birth of His Son. This Christmas story, this Christmas that we celebrate, that is represented by the 25th of December, may we be the type of people who God would choose to send so that we can go and share His news. And I wonder this morning, who shall you tell? Who is it in your, whether in your family, in your household, in your neighborhood, at your job? And it all starts with just sharing your story. None of this hocus pocus stuff. Just straight, look, this is what the Lord has done in my life. And allow the Spirit of God to work, because you don't know what the Spirit of God will do. As you begin to testify of what God has done in your life. And I'm just going to give an opportunity, you know, as we bring this to a close, just to give for anybody who's never had an opportunity to receive that gift from the Lord. He's waiting and He's available to welcome you into His family. So I'll just ask everybody to pray after me. Lord Jesus, thank You for coming to earth. And thank You for dying for me on the cross. Today, the good news. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And so with